Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Now, you don't have to be a billionaire playboy to own one anymore. Richard Browning from Wiltshire has built his own Iron Man suit. Richard, good afternoon to you.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
How long have you been working on this idea?
I'd say around 18 months or so. It started as a really just from the question of daring to kind of ask what if you dared take on this challenge, and it grew in lots of little incremental steps into something that we never quite frankly we'd imagine we'd get to.
Right, and in terms of, if you like, the devices that actually make you fly, could you describe what they look like?
They're actually little micro gas turbines. Save for a little bit of the details, they're not completely dissimilar to the full scale jet engines you have on a civil aircraft. They're only about the size of a kind of biscuit tin. They look completely innocent little devices until you fuel them up and fire them up, and then they are quite impressive to be around. They're amazing little feats of engineering. And to be clear, I didn't build the individual engines. I built the rest of the suit around it.
And would you so how many engines do you have? Is there several on your arms and your legs, or how does it work?
Yeah, so after an awful lot of exploration and adaptation and falling over, which has been a big part of the process, we've ended up with six. So a pair on each arm and a pair around the sort of waist level just behind you. So if you drew a straight line out of each one, you'd end up with quite a nice kind of, it's not really a pyramid, but a six-sided pyramid in terms of the support. And that's why it's ended up being so stable.
I see. Right. So when you turn them on, do you take off? Is it like a vertical takeoff, the same way it would be for Iron Man?
When you turn them on, they take a minute or so to kind of spool up and stabilize, and then the computer controlled system hands over permission to you, to the human, to take over and control the throttles. I mean, if a bit like a high powered sports bike, if you got on it and just opened the throttle full power and into a wall, you know what's going to happen. In the same kind of way, if I was stupid enough to put on full power, line all the engines up vertically, and then hold on, I would let's say gain a lot of height. I mean, safety is the number one priority with all of this, and there's no way that I would go and do that. And we have a whole bunch of sort of auto cutoff systems that fail to safe, if that makes sense.
So yeah.
I have to hold a button down constantly with my thumb, and if I slip off that by mistake or deliberately, everything shuts down. So it you don't end up 1,000 feet up in the air. But yes, here you could.
but the initial takeoff, though, then presumably is quite gradual, and you can build up speed if you want to.
Yes, correct. Yes. So one of the learnings from this was actually to control it. It was less about using the throttles. It was more about where you point them. So it's a bit like a kind of GCSE, school A-level, maybe physics kind of problem. If you point all the thrust, I suppose to be technical about it, they're thrust vectors. If you point all the engines in the desired direction downwards, then understandably you get pushed the other way. Mm. If you stood there with your arms out, in a sort of crucifix style, most of the thrust, certainly all of the thrust in your arms, is just gently squashing you. It doesn't go to pushing you up anywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So that means then to take off, you need to hold your arms fairly rigid.
Yeah, I mean, the on our website, there's a couple of really good films. Red Bull did a brilliant film, and so did Wired. It's gravity.co.co, so it's www.gravity.co, not .com or anything. That's got two really neat little videos in, and particularly the Red Bull one shows a lot of the training I really got into well before I came up with this idea, and that's very orientated towards kind of strength to weight ratio stuff. So yes, you need to try and have a reasonable amount of shoulder strength and stability, but also then not muscle up too heavily, otherwise you're just having to carry more power and therefore more fuel, and it all becomes hard to achieve.
Yeah.
So that's ended up becoming part of it, actually, quite nicely.
Right, and so you can take off, you hold your arms and your legs fairly rigid, then does it, can you fly then horizontally, or have you reached that point yet?
Yeah, so in theory, so yes, to answer your question, no, not yet. I mean, some of the higher speeds we've achieved, some of them we haven't actually caught on camera, have been like a very fast running pace, and you start to see the alignment of the body, if you like, the pilot's body start to lean forward and the legs go backwards. So as you achieve that kind of speed, we're heading towards the leveling out. We're a long way away from it at the moment, because you really need to start generating some lift from the frontal area of your body. It's mostly at the moment about going up a mere few meters, so it's still safe if you have to go and, you know, do an unplanned landing. But it's mostly about then proving you can hover in a stable manner, and then zipping around and turning and maneuvering in a kind of elegant way. That's really been the focus. I mean, and all of that was kind of considered by most sensible people about a year ago to not be achievable in the way we've done it. And actually, surprisingly, having spent a lot of time iterating, you know, modifying the way we've laid the engines out, we've ended up with a setup that's really very stable. And aside from the necessity of not being too heavy and being fairly strong, actually, I think most people could quite easily balance this.
Yeah. And presumably then you haven't flown that high in the air, so is landing still an issue?
No, landing's fine. It's all about how hard you land, and most of the time you land very softly. You know, it's only if you have a technical problem that you can find yourself landing harder than you want to. I mean, the whole system is very armored up, so I've never really hurt myself at all in 18 months of doing this. You know, you sort of graze your knee every now and then through the pad or whatever. But going high is actually quite easy. So we've gone, I think, the most about 3 or 4 meters, but it's kind of not really necessary. You're just taking on more of a risk than is necessary, because with all of these, you know, right back to I think it was the 1980s, the original jetpack that went and turned up at that Olympics. I should try and remember which Olympics it was. From then onwards, these various different kind of contraptions, they've got one big problem, and that's they can't glide if they lose power. And so we respect that fact, and therefore we spend most of the time, as I say, fairly low to keep it safe.
The rest of the suit, is it just about flight at the moment, or does it have anything else built into it?
It obviously, the focus is on flight. I mean, we've got a really neat heads-up display system, which is really a wonderful excuse to use some great technology. That heads-up display, it's a proper heads-up display, so like a sort of, you know, some miniature version of what you get in a jet fighter. Over my right eye, and I have to say we haven't flown with it that much because it's still under a bit of development, but that takes all the engine data from the 6 engines wirelessly and then projects onto it the engine speeds and temperatures, and also a kind of rolling cumulative fuel consumption figure. So in other words, you can tell, if you tell the machine what you started with, it knows how much it's drinking and therefore tells you how much you've got left, and that's a really nice, powerful part of it. But no, the rest of it, I mean, we haven't kind of bolted anything onto it yet, other than it's not related to the flying. We've got a whole bunch of other ideas, but actually, I mean, it's quite enough of a challenge to keep refining the performance of the flying and hovering around.
And what is the long-term aim here, Richard?
So we started, as I said, you know, really, and I've done this, you know, throughout quite a lot of my life, just I suppose being curious and asking the question, what if? And I suppose the starting question was, what happens if you combine the human mind, the human body, and some elegant, very lightweight engineering? Could you reimagine, could you redesign how a whole new raw form of human flight could be done? And I'd like to think we sort of got there. It's been a very, you know, very kind of bootstrap, innovative journey up till the beginning of this year. And because we've managed to achieve this, it's garnered an awful lot of attention and interest. And I think we now can claim to be quite a grown-up aeronautical innovation, innovation business. I think we've got nearly a dozen invitations all over the world to fly and present. I'm doing a TED talk now in Vancouver in less than 2 weeks, about 2 weeks' time. It seems to have really inspired a lot of people, or I suppose inspired their imagination in to a greater extent than I dare imagine, really. So there's certainly lots of events and shows and talks and things like that which we're doing, and that's great fun to share this with people. We've also had a small select group of people actually approach us and say, can we build them a custom suit? And for the right money, for the right people, we are entertaining that. You know, at no point am I suggesting this is going to be a mass market thing. I don't think anybody's going to get onto Tesco's anytime soon in a flying suit. But there are a bunch of other applications and uses, and we've got a bunch of other follow-on technologies behind this, which we're we haven't revealed yet, which I think can fit in nicely underneath the Gravity Industries brand.
Might one of those be a suit that flies but can also be invisible?
Ah, right. Yes. Okay. So I have been suggesting this. So yes, that's one of our ideas. So I suppose with the excuse of just using this as a platform to just revel in, you know, outrageous, interesting technologies, then the idea we've got, and we are quietly working on this behind the scenes, the idea we've got is to use flexible LCD screen technology. You can get these flexible screens now, and then clad the suit in as far as possible in it. The suit's able to generate a lot of power, a lot of electricity, if we want, from the gas turbines to power this. And then in theory, if you remember that, I think it was the 80s or 90s Predator film with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the bad guy in the with the sort of swirly adaptive camouflage. We've got a kind of interest in seeing if we can go and recreate something along those lines. And that kind of thing's been done a bit. I think even Jeremy Clarkson did that on Top Gear sometime with a bunch of flat-screen TVs. But that's an example of, you know, wouldn't it be amazing to suddenly go invisible to then flicking to being glowing bright to, you know, covered in different logos to doing whatever you like. So, yeah, that's an example of something we'd like to go and explore.
Yeah, whatever about going to Tesco's, Richard. Have you had any interest from any military organisations?
Yes, there's. I mean, again, that wasn't our starting point. I actually spent 6 years in the Royal Marines Reserve at the early part of my commercial career, so I've got a degree of appreciation for that potential application. I think like with a lot of technologies, it's easy to kind of be sceptical at the beginning, which I am, to be honest. But then I can imagine as the efficiency and capability refines, I wonder if there might well be some interesting applications. And certainly we had quite a lot of inquiries, and there are some conversations going on, let's put it that way. But again, I don't want to sit here and say that we're about to reimagine the whole way, you know, soldiers go into battle. But yes, I think there's some interesting developments could be done there.
Richard, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Project Gravity is the name of it, as you mentioned there. That's Richard Browning there.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.